Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From Lake Michigan to the Mississippi and every river, lake, and field in between, let's talk everything outdoors. Yeah, it's time to hop on the crazy train.
All aboard!
Welcome to the Midwestern Shooter Supply Cutting Edge Outdoors, presented by Coleman Insect Repellents. Fasten your seatbelts for a wild ride through Wisconsin's outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
The Midwestern Shooter Supplies Cutting Edge Outdoors.
Hey, folks, it's a wonderful morning here on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan. We sure are glad you joined us this morning for our second hour of power with Danny Bush and me, Tommy the True Neubauer, and, of course, Ryan Horvath as our producer, as usual. We come to you every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 a.m. We are live. We are unrehearsed. You never know what might happen, but I guarantee you one thing. We will be talking the out-of-doors, whether it be your fishing or hunting or other stuff that happens out there, even ghost stories. But right now, on the line, we have our special guest. He's Michael Brand from the Boy Scouts of America Certified Angling Instructor Program. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, guys. How are we this morning?
We're doing great. Glad you could join us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Well, you know, I heard you on another show a little while ago, maybe about 3 weeks ago, and I had to get a hold of you. I wrote down your website, and that's bcacai.org. Is that right?
I can make it easier for you now.
Yeah, please do easier? So. Tom struggles with this stuff.
Yeah, let's go easier with this. It's bsafishing.com.
There we go. bsafishing.com.
Hey, I like it.
So, tell us all about the program and what you're doing with the Boy Scouts.
Sure. The Certified Angling Instructor Program with the Boy Scouts was designed in about 2002 because we had reintroduced the fly fishing merit badge. And fly fishing is a very unique sport, and not a lot of our scout leaders knew how to fly fish or didn't have the equipment. And so we started to develop this education course to give scout leaders the tools to get the boys out fly fishing. And then what we found out over the years is not only did they not know how to fly fish, but a lot of them didn't know how to fish at all, because back in our day, we had our grandfathers that took us out fishing, and it was a family affair. And so over the last two generations, we've lost a lot of families to fishing. So we know the boys love to fish, but the problem was that our scout leaders didn't really have the tools necessary to get them out there and have a successful event.
Mm-hmm.
So we started this training session, and we teach adult leaders how to provide angling instruction at the Cub Scout level, which is like elementary school and middle school, to the Boy Scout level, which is middle school and high school, and then to our venturing program level, which is anywhere from high school to college. And so what we try to do is provide them an age-appropriate and skill-based program so that they have a lifelong learn of fishing. Give you a great example of this. We have a picture of a boy who caught a little bluegill, and he was about 8 years old. And then in our next social media post, we had a picture of an 18-year-old that had caught a 7.5-foot lemon shark down in the Keys. And so that really shows the progression of scout fishing. You know, if we do this every year and they're in scouting, and let's say they're in scouting for over 10 years, that's quite a bit of fishing trips. And hopefully what we do is build a love of the outdoors and giving them an opportunity to have a lifelong hobby.
You know, that is so important, Michael, because, you know, so many kids nowadays, they sit in front of the TV, they sit on their iPad, they play the computer games. When we were kids, you know, your parents would kick you out of the house, you'd go out and you'd play and you'd be home in time for dinner or something, and you'd get hollered at if you weren't home in time for dinner. But, you know, you were out doing stuff outside. I heard a report lately that kids nowadays spend less than, it was only a couple hours a week outdoors. You know,
that's,
I mean,
that's true. And that's another reason why this training program needed to be strong is that their kids have got so many different opportunities now that you cannot go in there with a program that isn't well thought out. So some of our programs are exciting. And of course, the kids are all about catching. They're not about fishing. So they need to be catching those fish. And so the Certified Angling Instructor Program works with our local camps that are all around the region. And we work on the fisheries in an effort to enhance the shoreline so we can get more scouts on the shores. And then also to enhance the fishery by improving fish habitat and pond management. And so that's the deal. Is you have to be able to excite those youth. And that's what this program is all about.
How does a person become a certified instructor? If, let's say, a person wants to do that, you know, they know about fishing, they've been doing it a long time, and now they want to share some of that knowledge, you know, with the younger folks. How do they go about doing that?
Yeah, we actually have three different ways to access that kind of service. The first one is called a BSA Angling Educator. And that Angling Educator is an individual such as a professional or a guide or a just somebody who's got a lot of experience, and they just want to help out during a scout event. And so what would happen is they would call their local council and in their local community and say, look, I'd like to work as a BSA angler educator, and they would get you involved in that program. Another thing that you can do is you can actually get yourself registered with the Boy Scouts as a merit badge counselor. And as a merit badge counselor, what would happen is the scouts would come to you and you would go and work with them through a series of requirements, anything from fishing skills, natural baits, anything regarding fishing or fly fishing. And you would sign off that they knew their stuff. And then the last thing is if you want to get registered as a Boy Scout leader, then you can go through the Certified Angling Instructor course. And so we have ways to assist anyone that would be interested in serving our youth, whether they're involved with the Boy Scouts directly or indirectly.
Okay. There was another thing that was on my mind, and it kind of like blew out.
He loses stuff all the time there. So.
I'm sorry, I go a little fast.
No. This is all great information. So anybody in any state, anybody listening to this, if all they got to do is just contact the local Boy Scouts, right?
Right, the local Boy Scout Council, right, of that town. And then they should inquire about the Certified Angling Instructor Program or fishing program. And so, give you an example, the BSA, Boy Scouts of America, is divided into four regions. There's the Western region, the Western states, the Central region, which is what I'm involved in, and then the Southern region and the Northeast region. Within each of those regions, then, it's subdivided into seven areas. And then within each area, there's about 13 different city councils that they'll get us in contact with those people. But the best thing to do is if you go on to bsafishing.com, we actually have a page that says Region Fishing Chairman, and you can just click on any one of those regions of the country and get to those region chairmen, and we can provide you more information.
Michael, I got a question for you. How did you get involved with the Boy Scouts?
Well, this goes back a long time ago. It was about 1970, and I was 8 years old, and I got involved as a Cub Scout. And my mom and dad provided me the opportunity to participate in the scouting program. I went on and earned the highest rank in Cub Scouting, which was the Arrow of Light. And then 4 years later, I earned my Eagle Scout Award, which is the highest award of Boy Scouting.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since taking that Eagle obligation, I've been serving the Boy Scouts and loving every minute of it. So here I am at 56 and doing this every day. I'm on my way right now to the National Order of the Arrow Conference in Indiana University, and I'll be teaching conservation and recruiting people into our ranks to help out with that initiative.
Hey, they used to have a magazine. I used to always read it at the doctor's office growing up called Boys Life.
Absolutely.
Do they still have that magazine?
We actually have a website called boyslife.org, and there's actually a fishing section to that webpage. And there you will meet our FLW icon, which is Tom Reddington. Tom fishes for the FLW, and we sponsor him. And you'll find all kinds of tricks and techniques. It's great for your kids. That's boyslife.org, and go under the fishing tab. And it's just as good as it was when it was in the doctor's office.
I used to, it's funny, growing up, you remember certain things. And I used to love that magazine, the different sections and so forth. I was a Cub Scout back in the day, and I advanced my way to the Wolf Badge. And then I kind of fell off. My cousin was an Eagle Scout, though. But mm-hmm. the one thing I will say about the Boys Life magazine and the scouting thing in general, it wasn't just about outdoors and fishing or whatever. I mean, they really preached good morals and taught people to be good citizens.
Well, and that's our primary objective is to make good citizens. And we do that through the Cub Scout, through the adventuring program, and we provide these leadership skills. And what's exciting right now is that the Boy Scouts membership policies are changed recently, and now we're starting to admit girls into the program. And so now it's becoming much more of a family-centered activity. And, what's better than to reach more youth than we ever have before? So we're really excited about this, and we're actually looking at fishing as a gateway, because we know that young boys and young girls both love to fish, and we're looking at fishing as the gateway to getting those families involved in our program.
You know, I have a confession to make.
Oh, God.
Here it comes.
When I was a Boy Scout, a young Boy Scout, we had a winter camping thing, right?
We'd go on the freeze out.
Yeah, the freeze out.
Is that what they called it?
Well, I forget what they called it. It was a long time ago. But it was winter camping, and we were up at this mounds. I forget what it's called. It's right up by us here by I-94. But anyway, and we were supposed to start a fire, right, with sticks or whatever the heck it was. Well, I got a confession. I took matches. There was no way
a scout
I was going to.
Yeah, is prepared.
That's right. A scout is always prepared, and there's no way I was going to start a fire in the snow, in the cold, without them. I mean, that's my confession.
He had a can of lighter fluid.
No, just
and
matches.
A big lighter in his backpack. Of course, that's probably before they invented big lighters.
We don't propose to that, but flint and steel isn't necessarily a bad thing.
No, yeah, but it's not easy.
It's not easy to do.
I often thought it would be fun
to sit. I'd like to see someone do it.
Yeah, I mean, in the summertime, it's not so
what's
bad.
What's really interesting is the number of astronauts that we have had that are Eagle Scouts, and the initiative that shown like by James Lovell when Apollo 13 had its problems. A lot of that ability to work under pressure was developed at a very young age.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that the training he received at NASA was not important, but I do think that this self-determination and independence was by scouting played a big part in the success of our astronauts.
MacGyver. Wasn't MacGyver a Boy Scout, too?
Hey, listen, Michael, we got to run. We got to go to a commercial break. But I want to really thank you for being on the show with us and taking the time out to call us. Give us the website again.
It's BSA, Boy Scouts of America, BSAfishing.com.
Right. And the other one is I wrote it down. I'm going to go to it, boyslife.org. I'm going to check it out.
Boyslife.org, yes.
Yeah. But if you want to be an angling instructor for the Boy Scouts, all you got to do is go to BSAfishing.com, right?
Right. Very good.
Thanks for taking your time out with us, Michael. We appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, Fish on.
Okay, yep. See ya. Bye-bye. Bye. And with that, we got to go to a break right now. We'll be right back. He's Danny Bush. I'm Tommy the True Neubauer, that guy in the wedge shirt that says we are the Marquette Warriors.
When we come back, I got some record fish information.
All righty. He's Ryan Horvath, and we are on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Listen.
I'm going to sing it to my friends.
Welcome back to the Midwestern Shooter Supply Cutting Edge Outdoors, 799-1250, fishing, hunting report. And Tom, I got some reports here for you.
Yeah,
if you, want.
You got some record fish?
Let me read my notes here. Can't read my own handwriting. A Brenda Carter broke the catch and release record set a year ago by her daughter, Erica Carter, who goes to Stevens Point. On July 3rd, for a record pumpkin seed. Now, here's what's going on. The DNR, I believe, has started new record categories, right, for catch and release.
Catch and release
stuff like that.
In the state, yeah.
So, anyway, she, mom caught a 9-inch pumpkin seed on Knockabee, which beat her daughter's record from Knockabee a year ago by a quarter inch. Now, 9-inch pumpkin seed. What's the biggest pumpkin seed you've ever caught, Tom?
It was almost a state record. It was 15 ounces, and it was 10 inches long, 10 and a quarter inches.
Really? Okay.
It was on Eagle Lake.
Eagle Lake, okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a rarity, and, you know, and they don't weigh as much as a bluegill.
No. And, they got more of a thinner, more of a rib cage comes
the
out
bat,
more.
It's kind of weird. But
fillets aren't as thick.
But like out by you, there's a zillion pumpkin seeds.
Yeah, I've probably caught an 8-incher before.
Yeah, might have, yeah.
Here's some of the other records. I thought it was just curious, the current records. White bass is 18 and a half inches.
That's a big white bass.
Big. I know I caught some that were 15 inches on Mendota years ago.
Mm-hmm. Now these are the DNR's catch and release records, right?
Yeah.
Can I just mention real quick,
if you get
your fishing regulation book, it spells it all out in there. If you catch a big enough fish, what you can enter, and they have minimum size requirements for each species, and you can enter that into the DNR. Yeah, and it tells you what you got to do.
Yeah, and sometimes people take the record fish right to the DNR station, the local substation, whatever. Bluegill is 11 inches.
Ooh, that's a big bluegill.
Now, here is one that says rainbow, caught from a private pond, 23.5 inches. That's a nice size rainbow.
From a private pond?
Private pond,
wow.
Yeah. Now, here's an interesting story. A gal I know, Susie, she and her husband bought a place, I think up near Woodruff, Minocqua.
Sure.
And apparently they bought a house, but it's got access to a golf course. And being as they bought the house on the lake, they have access to all the grounds. And last winter, they noticed some people walking out with ice fishing gear out into the golf course. And they're like, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
So they went out and they discovered a pond out there.
Sure.
So sure enough, they drill a couple holes and they put down a rod through the ice, and Susie and the guy are fighting over who gets the rod, and she goes, no, I clear the hole. I'm using this rod, and you go clear that one.
And
while they're fighting, something grabs the minnow, and they fight it forever, and it was a big rainbow. They pulled it in.
Really?
And then they were like, oh, this is what's going on. Then a couple old guys came out, or I don't know old guys, but a couple dudes came out, walked by him and gave him the stink eye and went to the other, gave him the Tom Neubauer boat launch stink eye and went to the other end of the pond and started fishing. So when they started talking to these guys, apparently they also own a place. They're from Illinois And they said that they were the ones that planted the rainbow trout in there, and therefore they didn't really want anybody else fishing there.
They were hoping nobody else found out about it.
Right, yeah. Right. But technically they can't tell them that they can't fish there.
And you know, a lot of golf courses have ponds on them, and the majority of the ponds on those golf courses have fish in them.
Big bass,
oh,
right?
Oh, yes. I seen them at the golf course. You'd be walking along, going over a bridge or just on the shore looking for your ball that might have went in the water, you know. And, oh, no, they're there, especially in the springtime when they're spawning there along the shore. Oh, my goodness. There's a couple of courses around here. I should get out a Popiel Pocket Fisherman and be like Lee
Popiel's
Trevino.
Popiel Pocket Fisherman. Yeah. And, boy, does it catch fish.
Yeah, be like Lee
Remember
Trevino and catching fish.
Did he actually do that one time?
He did that one. It was a rain delay at a tournament, big tournament, okay. And Lee Trevino had brought out a Popiel Pocket Fisherman, was actually fishing on a pond, and his caddy was holding the big umbrella over
it.
Yeah, he had a little Popiel Pocket Fisherman.
They said that he was a really funny guy.
Yes. As a matter of fact, he was just in Wisconsin recently for Steve Stricker's tournament up in Madison. He was here. And oh, geez, Lee Trevino's got to be like 80 years old, 81, 82, something like that.
He's getting up there.
Yeah, but he was a great guy. Tex-Mex, they called him.
I was going to say Tex-Mex, but Tex-Mex. Then I thought, will I sound racist
say
Mex?
That's what he went by, Tex-Mex.
I used to read that in Sports Illustrated,
yeah.
Tex-Mex.
It was something else. Any other
records
there?
Yeah. Boy, we get off topic sometimes.
What do you mean white boy?
Boy, you get off. Did you just call me white boy?
White boy, yeah. What do you mean
there.
White boy?
Listen, grumpy old white man. Grumpy old man. Let's sound like an old man.
You're getting off topic again.
Green sunfish, 8.5 inches.
A green sunfish, okay.
Okay. We caught a green sunfish this week on Pewaukee. I was out with Jim Comart 2 days ago, and we got one that was at least, I think, that big. We might have a record green sunfish.
Yeah.
He filleted. here's another one. This one's interesting. Weight division, Tom.
Yeah.
How big do you think the biggest creek chub in the weight division, length and weight, can you guess? Can you even get in the ballpark?
A creek chub. I'm going to guess 13 inches and maybe close to a pound, maybe?
Yeah, you're pretty darn close. 11 3/4 inches and 3/4 pound.
Okay, yeah, because I've seen some pretty good
creek chubs.
Yeah. Yeah, we got a caller with a question.
Boy, that'd be great.
Yeah, actually, it's Al. He's got a he's got a report on Cedar Lake, and I'm positive that it's Al this time because nobody left any false names up.
All right.
Can't
hey,
screw that.
Good
it's
morning,
only two
Al.
Letters.
Good morning, gentlemen. How
oh, it's
today?
Al Shook.
Of course, it's Al Shook.
Our
what's happening, Al?
Rep.
Good to hear from you,
what's
buddy.
Up?
Well, I heard you talking about Cedar Lake, and you were complaining about how they could close the boat launch and so on and so forth. In so many of these situations where the DNR has a public launch in a municipality, and not all cases, but a lot of the cases, there's wheeling and dealing as to the amount of trailer parking available.
Mm-hmm.
And once those get full, they'll close the lot.
Well, that's understandable, Al. If that's full, you can close the launch off for people because there's no place for them to park. You know,
right.
So I can understand that. But this is... a situation where they can close the launch, even though there's plenty of parking spaces available, on their determination on whether there's too many boats on the lake or not.
Well, there again, who owns the launch is...
That's what I wasn't sure of. Yeah, if it was...
the thing.
Yeah, I didn't know if
the... municipal launch, like the one for Oconomowoc Lake, they can do as they please, and it's the same thing for Nabobbin.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure today that they would love to close the Okachi launch because it's Saturday of the big tie-up on Okachi.
Right, big party.
Yeah, a big party out there,
You know, it all depends on what kind of deals were made in order to get the launch and who actually owns and operates them.
Mm-hmm.
But, there's a couple other things happening today. The Great Cancer Shootout at Wern Valley, if you like trap shooting.
Right.
And raise funds to fight cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And I will be at the Ojibwa Bow Hunters Youth Day today and helping out with that and representing the Waukesha County Conservation Alliance for kids are free, and they've got archery, fishing, turkey calling, nature walks, dog training, and the DNR safety, and food will be available. So it's, you got nothing to do with the kids, and you want to come and see, learn about outdoor things, come to Ojibwa. And if the kids are too young to shoot, take them out to Wern Valley in the evening. They have fireworks out there.
That's right. They always had the fireworks, yeah.
Yeah, it's always right. A good deal, and it's always a lot of fun. And you couldn't ask for a better day today.
Right. I know. It's beautiful. Well, thanks for that update, Al. We do appreciate it, and we got to go to a break right now.
I understand, gentlemen. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
Take care.
Okay, see you, buddy. Bye now. All right, let's go to that break, and when we come back, we got some more records, state record things that Danny's got. I got a great fishing report for you from Delavan Lake, so we'll be right back with that and more here on the Midwestern Shooter Supplies Cutting Edge Outdoors.
She's got something that moves my soul, and she knows.
Boy, you even get the video with it.
Is there a hot-looking chick?
No.
No, absolutely not.
Okay. Welcome back to the Midwestern Shooter Supply Cutting Edge Outdoors, 799-1250. Thanks for getting on the train with us today. We got another 25 minutes. And, Tom, do you want to give your Delavan Lake report?
Sure. Yeah. Now, I wasn't able to go because I had to work, but my son Chris went down to Delavan Lake yesterday. It was quite windy. He said it was kind of hard to stay in spots. Now, he had heard that the big crappies were really on, and he never did catch a crappie. The usual spots where we catch crappies on Delavan Lake, couldn't get any. He did get some nice bluegills. He kept some of those. He caught, like, I forget if he said 13 or 17 northern pike, but not one over 27 inches. They were all smaller ones. And Danny, he caught, I think he said eight smallmouth. He caught a bunch of largemouth bass, none bigger than 15 inches, but he caught eight smallmouth bass. Now, he saw some bluegills, some big bluegills in some shallow water, and he chucked out his lure, and he caught, are you ready for this, on an ultralight rod, 4-pound test, a 20-inch smallmouth. Guess what lure he was using?
A mini mite.
A mini mite. A goofy little mini mite. And he gets a 20-inch smallmouth. And he said, Dad, I'm telling you, that had me all around the boat. He said, that thing, it was taken out, dragged like I had to chase it. He said,
I believe it.
On 4-pound test, ultralight rod. And, well, he's got a longer ultralight. That's got to be 6.5, maybe 7 feet. And he said, that baby was just bent right over chasing his thing. He finally got it. 20-inch smallie. I mean, that's got to be around a 5-pounder, you know.
And,
man, and he said he caught a couple others that were in the 18-inch range, two other smallies that were 18 inches, and then some a little bit smaller ones. Because at Delavan Lake, they got a size limit of 18-inch on bass. But he said, man, he said that was just one horrendous.
That's
but
a great
but he hasn't beat me on smallies with mini mites, though. On Oconomowoc Lake, I had some clients out. This is when I used to guide. I don't do that anymore. I was on Oconomowoc Lake with a couple of guys, and you know, they wanted to catch some of those big bluegills. We were catching other fish, but they wanted to go for some big bluegills.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, I had the mini mite rods all set up. I said, okay, right here. And they said, oh, go ahead, fish with us. And I said, okay, I'll just throw them in the live well for you guys, you know. I mean, and I caught a 21-incher on my ultralight with 4-pound test, you know.
That's
and
nice
that was awesome. And that, again, towed me around. And that was the same day, Danny, that in the same spot with the same lure and not retying, which I should have retied, of course, I caught the 35-inch muskie on the mini mite with the ultralight. And that one really took me around. I was chasing it for 10 minutes. I mean, it went right out to deep water, and I'm chasing this thing and following it. And we finally got it. And as a matter of fact, the one guy who was with us, it was him and his friend. He's got a picture of me and him. He had it on his refrigerator for years of me and, you know, me holding the muskie, him standing next to me with the net because he netted it for me. And luckily, thankfully, we had a net that was just big enough.
I lost a years ago. I was fishing with a kid. I used to take him fishing once a week, and we just nightcrawler fish for whatever. Mm-hmm. And we catch bass, you know, anything. You just go out dunking nightcrawlers and weed edges. And we went in shallow on the east end in the narrows, and I made a cast. We both were fishing, and I started winding in. I thought I had something, so I handed the rod to him, and it just stayed down deep, and I thought, oh, it's a carp.
Mm-hmm.
And then it swam by. It was like a 40-plus inch muskie.
Oh, geez.
And I had handed him the rod, right? And as soon as I saw it was muskie, I'm like, give me that thing.
Give me the
and
rod.
I grabbed the rod. And then the thing spotted me at the same time at the boat, and it was just cruising leisurely. You know, it wasn't, it was one of those fish that didn't know it was in trouble.
Exactly, yeah.
And then once it realized it was hooked, it took off on a power run, and then leaped in the air and shaking its head and
that was it.
Broke us off. Well, and then the kid blamed me for grabbing the rod and losing the fish.
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny. Those mini mites, you know, they're great for, you know, for panfish, bluegills, crappies, perch. But I'll tell you, over the years, Danny, and this has happened to you too, sometimes, you know, these bigger fish will grab like it's like after having a big dinner, well, you grab the mint on your way out, you know?
I do want you to get me a pack of those bigger mini mites.
I forgot.
I want to try those
twos.
Because I told you I met a guy who told me that he's from Washington Island, and his brother still lives up there.
Mm-hmm.
And in July, when that season opens for the smallmouth up there, they got that delayed opening to allow them to spawn. He said his brother's go-to bait for big smallmouth on Washington Island is a mini mite.
The mini mite two.
He didn't specify, but I didn't even know there was a mini mite two until I asked you. I'm assuming it's probably that size.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking that's probably no Hornswoggle.
Yeah, I would believe
it. At first, I thought it was a Hornswoggle, but now, and I was even thinking when on Rowley's Bay, there were bass that were bedding, and Ron Johnson was, he set up a drop shot rig, and he'd cast way past and then jiggle it on there by their bed, and they'd grab it, but they were really spooky. I thought, man, if you were to drift a mini mite just above I would think a mini mite would work for him,
sure.
too. It's a subtle enough presentation.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, those goofy little baits, man. They catch everything. I've caught just about every fish in this state almost. I mean, that unbelievable. Hey, but we got a caller. Who do you got, Ryan?
We got Bill with a fishing report
All right. Good morning, Bill. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, gentlemen.
It's Bill from Sportsman's Den. So
hey,
what's...
Sorry, I haven't called in a while. They keep coming in when your show's on. It kind of makes me
mad.
Hey,
well, business is good.
That's good. What's...
Hey, listen, I noticed a pattern with my customers this week. We were, my buddies went out a couple times to Delavan in a couple places. They were fishing like they always do off the bottom for bluegills.
Mm-hmm.
But they couldn't buy a bite. What I found out, Wind Lake and all the lakes around here, the fish, the big bluegills, are over 17 feet of water, about 3.5 feet down.
Oh, really? They're suspended high up, huh?
Yeah.
There must be some kind of bug hatch or something that's up there.
I don't know, but I think that's why he got zonked, and he's good.
He
doesn't usually miss. But he said he didn't mark them on his locator, but that could be if they're that shallow.
Yeah, well, my son caught some on Delavan in deeper water, and then he said there were really nice ones. He could see them around the docks. He could see them around the docks, so he just was chucking that mini mite around the docks and catching real nice ones, you know. So,
you know, when I thought I knew everything, I'd say they'd be down around 25, 35 feet, and that's not the
case. Normally at Delavan, you're usually deeper on Delavan, close to the bottom. But hey, you know, they can be just about anywhere. They don't read the same books we do, Bill.
Yeah. And now the perch are going really strong on Winnebago.
Oh, yeah. Perch fishing on Winnebago is hot. Walleyes, too. Walleye fishing is always good.
Catfish are really good at Rainbow Park.
Yeah.
They're doing really good, nice ones. And all the rivers right now are doing really good.
Yeah.
You can't really go wrong. And something I've noticed this year is my customers are getting a lot of nice panfish in Pewaukee Lake.
Yes. Nice the size of the panfish in Pewaukee Lake, the bluegills and the crappies, has gone up. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Well, that's a good thing.
Yes, that's a great thing.
I thought I'd let you guys know that. And if anybody's looking for the big jumbo leeches and extra larges, I've got them.
And that's where?
Sportsman's Den on 54th and Villard.
All right, you got
Milwaukee.
It, Bill.
Thanks, Bill.
All right, see you, Bill. You know, speaking of, it was just saying about, I know Winnebago, the perch are doing really good. And I mean, they're not monster perch, but they're nice filletable perch. You know, they're right in that 9-inch range.
Oh, yeah,
you know, a little more,
doable,
a little less, but they're nice. They're good perch. And a lot of anglers have been waiting for that to happen out there in Winnebago to get those bigger perch. So,
hey, can I give you some more records here?
You want to do, it's 7:45. You want to do it now or do you want to take a break first?
Well, I guess we'll do our break.
Yeah, okay. We'll do our break. And then, okay, right after this break, we'll take that caller. Danny's got some more records. And, well, he's Danny Bush. I'm Tommy the True Neubauer. And he's Ryan Horvath. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Midwestern Shooter Supply Cutting Edge Outdoors. And what do we got going on, Ryan?
We got a couple callers. Let's start with, let's go to Dan first. Dan, how you doing today?
Oh.
Hey, good morning, Dan.
Good morning, guys. I just wanted to say hi to all you guys. I'm up here in Chippewa Falls, and me and my wife just got back from vacation down in Nashville, and I got you guys back on the radio.
All right.
So,
did you?
You guys were saying about the mini mites catching everything.
Yeah.
So I always use some little beetle spins.
Oh yeah, those are great
with
too.
Black and chartreuse green curly tail.
Yeah.
And that catches everything too. I've caught everything from catfish to you name it.
Yep, I agree with you. I agree, Dan.
I knew a guy used to live on Pewaukee Lake, and he swore by a beetle spin for muskies off his pier. Because he'd throw a beetle spin, he says he'd catch everything, including muskies, 40-inch muskie here and there.
Yeah, beetle spins are great lures.
It's amazing.
Great bait, and I always have it on my ultralight, and I'm trying to get into fly fishing, but it's hard to put that beetle spin down.
Yeah. Well, and don't put the beetle spin on your fly rod. Don't do that, Dan. Hey, thanks for calling, Dan. We appreciate it.
I appreciate you guys.
All right.
Take care,
thank
man.
You, Dan. Bye now. And who else you got?
And we
Ryan?
Also have Art.
Okay. Hey, good morning, Art. How you doing this morning?
Good morning, gentlemen. I just wanted to let you guys know about our 6th annual Winneconne. It's an open bass tournament.
Yeah.
And it is probably the best tournament around.
Really?
We're going to pay 1 out of 4. We after the weigh-in, we go to Wood Eyes, if you're familiar, up at Winneconne, and we have a buffet where we give out the plaques and the prizes. And this year I've collected about $3,000 worth of goods and services in the local area up there that we're going to give out as door prizes.
Got it. Okay, so when is the tournament?
August 4th.
And how do they enter?
Well, you call me at 414-507.
Wait a minute, Art. I'm going to have to write this down. Start again.
414-507-3779.
3779. That's in case anybody calls after you're off the air.
And you can look this up on Facebook, Winneconne Bass Tournament.
Okay.
Winneconne Bass Tournament. Cool.
All right. Well, good luck with that.
Like I'm saying, believe it or not, this is the best tournament around.
Two quick questions. How much does it cost to enter?
It's $220, $20 for big bass, which we pay first, second, and third.
Yeah. Is that a two-person team?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And
five fish limit, so if you really want to do, you could do it yourself.
You could fish yourself, yeah. Pay the whole $220 yourself, fish yourself.
Yeah, you're a rich guy, Tom.
That's what I would do.
You can swing it.
Yeah, that's
get all
I'd
the
do.
Money.
Yeah. Take it, lose it all, or take it all.
So, guys, what are they fishing? Largemouth or smallmouth up there?
Both.
Yeah, both. Definitely both.
And the whole system is open, other than you can't go through a lock or anything.
Gotcha.
Right.
Hey, that sounds great.
Give us that Facebook again.
Winneconne Open Bass Tournament.
Okay, you got it, Art.
Good luck.
All right, good luck with that. Okay, bye now.
Thanks, man.
Okay, we got some emails, Danny. Quick.
Okay.
This is from Ray.
Ray.
Morning, guys. One of my first bosses after I got out of the Navy used to bring us purple pickled eggs. He would buy Aunt Nellie's pickled beets, eat the beets, and then put the hard-boiled eggs in the brine for a few days. Delicious. Yours with a smile and a song, Ray. Okay, that was good. I never thought of that. That sounds pretty good. Now,
purple's cool.
This is from Ryan. He's got a tip on Okeechobee Lake.
Here we go.
Friday, Stumpy Bay. Oh, my God. This is where they got the party in Stumpy Bay?
Yeah.
Danny, look at this photo. He took an aerial photo. Look at all those boats, all those pontoons and boats.
Oh, that was yesterday already?
If
tying up a day in advance now and spending the night. So
Robert isn't kidding us, hundreds of them. Oh, my goodness.
Our DNR buddies will be busy in the water patrol.
You don't want to be out there today if that's what's going on.
Not drink and drive in a boat.
And then the last email here.
Can you imagine if a storm hit when all those boats were out there? That would not be a good thing.
No. Now, this was from Al Shook. This is when Ryan was, you were recording an update, right? Mm-hmm. And Al Shook sent an email while Ryan was recording his update, and it said, "I can't get anyone to answer the phone. What's up?" Well, we're busy.
Yeah.
We're busy. We got business to take care of.
You just gotta call back. We don't get to it right away.
That was a line from the Warriors.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah,
you see the movie Warriors where the guy comes in, the gang member goes in, and the girl's working behind the counter and says she hasn't seen him for a while or something. He goes, "I've been busy."
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or like Tony Soprano, "We got a business to run here." That was pretty good.
It's a good Tony. Yep.
Yeah, you got a business to run here.
Okay, now that, let's move right on. So
yeah,
Tom's
moving
done
on,
with
Danny.
The imitations move here. On. God have mercy on my soul. Spotted sucker, Tom.
Ooh,
have you ever heard of a spotted sucker?
Never heard of it, Danny.
Can you guess what the record spotted sucker, the new
1 pound, 6 ounces.
Way off, El Guapo. Yeah. 4 pounds, 10.2 ounces. 20 and a half inches.
I thought it'd be smaller since it was
spotted. Sucker.
I thought it'd be smaller since it's spotted.
I saw one in my live well once. It was spotted.
Spotted it in your live well?
Okay, private. Another one. Okay. Have you ever heard of a tiger trout?
Yeah, actually,
I have. Is that a cross between a brookie and a rainbow?
I think it's something like that.
Here's
yes.
another record. Private Pond Racine tiger trout, 16 inches, 2 pounds, 1 ounce. Tiger trout. Okay.
Okay.
Here's the species.
Wonder if they taste any different.
Okay. Now they've also got a record category for like rough fish with like bow and arrow or pitchfork or slingshot
spear.
Division, M80.
He's not that we're recommending you use M80s.
Don't go out. You can't use an M80.
When I was a kid, we did.
Well, my dad used to use quarter sticks of dynamite on the Nemadji River.
Yeah.
They'd go up down from Eddie Miller. I own the land now, actually, right by my wealthy estate there. But Dad would go down, and they'd throw the dynamite in the sticks in one part, and they'd net them down the river.
Good thing there's a statute of limitations.
Dad's dead now.
Yeah,
but he said
it was
a real blast.
Oh,
okay, so
God.
Now we got the white sucker.
Bad.
This was with a bow.
Yeah.
How big of a white sucker do you think that they got with a bow?
I don't know. A 3-pounder. I don't know.
There you are.
10-pounder.
You can't just guess all over the board like
7
that.
7 pounds.
Bingo. 7 pounds, 6.7 ounces.
I knew I'd get it.
Guess
eventually.
How long it was?
28 inches.
24.5.
Oh, okay.
Guess. What lake it came from?
Pewaukee.
Starts with a P.
Pete and Well Flowage.
Oh, no. Closer to us.
It would take me a while to
Pine Lake.
Out. Pine Lake. Oh,
Pine
yeah.
Lake,
beautiful
yeah.
Pine Lake.
Pine Lake. And then there was also...
That's a good crappy lake.
There was also a story about a guy who thought he had a record bullhead.
Oh, yeah.
And it turned out to be a flathead catfish.
Oh, it was a small cat.
It was 4 pounds, 4.1 pounds for a flathead.
Yeah.
And can you guess what the yellow bullhead record?
Is it about 3 pounds?
Yeah,
something?
3 pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, if you wanted to get a record yellow bullhead, Tom,
yeah,
I would fish the Bay of Green Bay by the Peshtigo Harbor.
Yeah.
Years ago when I used to fish pike there, I actually had some... You'd fish with big shiner minnows.
Really, yeah.
And dead smelt. We actually had some giant bullheads grabbing on to the live bait, and you'd think you had a small pike, and you wind in a big, beautiful, you know those big bullheads?
Yeah.
Big, bulging yellow belly?
Yeah, yeah.
They look pretty cool. They probably would have been darn good to eat out of that water.
You know, I'll tell you, bullhead, a lot of people don't realize, but bullheads are good eating. They are very good eating fish. There's nothing wrong with them. And you know, they're in the catfish family. Catfish are good eating, too, depending on where you get them from.
Right.
You know, but they are good. Well, hey, listen, Danny, I've had a great time this morning.
Me, too.
And
the only part I didn't like was getting up this morning.
Yeah. Well, we got more stuff, but we ran out of time. So
next
you're going to have to join us next week.
Next week. That's right, buddy.
Yep, that's right. That's all I got, Danny.
That's all I got.
To all the listeners, thanks for listening. And God bless and stay free, everyone.
You've been listening to the Midwestern Shooter Supply Cutting Edge Outdoors. Hey, don't forget about their Fall Fest in a couple weeks. We'll talk about that next week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.